I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Luke 16:9. I am Rob West. In that verse in the parable of the shrewd manager, Jesus instructs his disciples on a critical part of evangelism, using worldly wealth with eternity in mind. Rachel McDonough joins us today with a compelling story about putting that to practice. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my friend Rachel McDonough is our guest today. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor and a regular FaithFi contributor. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
Rachel, when you're with us, we often talk about investing, and we're going to do that today, but from a different vantage point. In fact, I know to kick us off, you have an incredible story that you call the best investment you ever made. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, this one is not an investment in stocks or bonds. It is okay. The story. So I've never met anyone more hostile than this so-called witch I met in St. Paul, Minnesota several years ago. Mm. I've also never seen a hardened heart melt faster than hers did, all because of a small $35 investment.
Okay, I'm ready to hear this. Now, by the way, you're not calling this lady a witch. I guess that's how she referred to herself, right?
That's right. So here's the story. I was at an evangelism conference that included a time for ministering out in the streets. Mm. Not my normal comfort zone, but sure. I decided to try it. We went out in pairs to share the gospel, and my friends and I spotted her and really felt drawn to her. She saw us coming right away and started shouting some words that I will not even be able to repeat. "Stay away from me. I don't believe what you believe. I am a witch," she yelled.
Wow. I can imagine that was a little unsettling.
Yes, my heart was certainly racing, but we just couldn't turn away. We felt certain that there was a child inside that Jesus had died to save, and somehow God gave us courage to keep going. So as we crossed the street over there to visit with her, she said, or we just told her, "I don't want to argue with you or try to get you to believe what we believe, but is there anything at all that we can do to bless or help you today?" Mm. She paused for a minute and then kind of grunted, "You can pay my phone bill." So we just said, to her surprise, we just said, "Well, we'd love to pay your phone bill. How much is it?" "It's $35. So as we handed her the cash, we just saw this dramatic transformation where she really started to melt. And she told us, "I would never set foot into a church."
Yeah.
And we said, "Yes, that's why the Lord sent the church to come and find you today. He loves you and wants you to be part of his family." Well, she wept openly and shared her painful story about how she was abused in the church long ago, and just was so happy for us to pray with her and hug her and share the love of God with her, all for a mere $35.
Wow. That's a powerful story. And I think just a great reminder, Rachel, of how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it doesn't have to involve thousands of dollars when we're meeting a physical need. A simple act of generosity can really be an open door to a gospel conversation, right?
That's exactly right.
I love it. Well, I know we're going to continue to unpack this today. You've got some other stories for us. But Rachel, as a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, you meet with lots and lots of clients. And I know generosity is kind of built into your planning process. So to set the stage for what we're going to hear down the road, I think the big idea here is that we need to be open to the leading of the Lord, but we also need to be intentional. We need to have a plan. And I know you see that play out in your planning process with your clients all the time, right?
Yeah, I think there's really an opportunity for some planned spontaneity, and we'll get into what that might look like in a couple of other examples.
Okay, planned spontaneity. And for those who like to always have everything locked down and that plan all buttoned up, perhaps this is a chance for you to get a little more flexible, maybe a little more open to what God may have if you just look at the people on your path and see how God might use you as you're a steward of His resources. We're talking today with Rachel McDonough. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, and talking investments today, but not stocks and bonds. We're talking about investing in eternity and how you can be involved in everyday generosity. Back with much more with Rachel McDonough just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. You have a hole in your heart. It's not a medical condition, but it is a birth defect, a spiritual birth defect. It's how we all come into this world, with a God-shaped void that we try to fill with everything but God. And this world never stops tempting us with new things to try, but none of those things can ever fill the emptiness. In fact, the only way to fix that hole in our hearts is to let the great physician, the one who created us, fill that void with Himself and give us new hearts that are able to do what Christ commands, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Try out Anchor Devotional today. In print monthly, visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We compartmentalize our faith, don't we? That's what we do on Sunday. The rest of the time, we do other things. But that's not the way the early Christians lived. Their job was an add-on to their real ministry, which was to live for Christ. That's what I hope we can begin to see happen.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Everything You Need, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're talking today about investing in eternity, how a simple act of generosity can open the door to gospel conversations. Joining me today, my good friend Rachel McDonough. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. She's a regular contributor on this program. And Rachel, just before the break, you were sharing with us a story of how you went out outside of your comfort zone as a part of an evangelism conference to have some gospel conversations and a simple act of generosity to pay somebody's phone bill who was very hostile to the gospel caused her heart to melt and led to a wonderful conversation. And only heaven will tell us what the ultimate result of that conversation was. But that's an opportunity that perhaps some of us miss. And I think stories that illustrate that are a powerful reminder to all of us. Do you have a few other examples of this type of investing in evangelism?
Yeah, I do, Rob. And I also just want to say, wow, this is challenging for me. I mean, I gave an example from my own life, but I pray that this becomes a more common occurrence for me. So if you heard that story and you felt a little intimidated, you're not alone. But we need to take steps outside of our comfort zone and just be on adventure with God and tune into his heart for the people around us.
That's good.
So these next two examples come from clients. The first one is one of the clients I work with shared a story of visiting a small park by her home. And she noticed when she pulled into the parking lot, there was a rundown minivan with lots of Jesus bumper stickers and different things on it. And when she walked into the park, she saw a group of 8 kids of different races and ages playing a game of baseball with 2 adults. And when she saw it, she just was pretty sure either this was a foster family or an adopting family. And she was really feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to give them $500.
Hmm.
And after meeting the mother and just kind of awkwardly handing her a check, you know, she wasn't quite sure what to say, but she just went ahead and did it anyway. Well, she got to hear their story of how they were fostering kids so that they might share the love of God with them. And they were actually in a significant financial crisis. So that $500 was a huge answer to their kind of desperate and frantic prayers. And wow, how powerful to just see those tangible examples when we're partnering with God and co-laboring with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Another example that I have to share, this one is less spontaneous in nature. So if any of you are kind of gritting your teeth with the idea of having to go talk to strangers, this one might feel better for you. This couple is a couple that we work with out of New York, and they're currently considering putting a $100,000 investment into their backyard to give an update to their landscaping and install a pool. And their motivation for this is that they want to be the ideal hangout spot for all of their kids' friends. Mm. And they're actively looking for ways to reach out and build relationships with the next generation, demonstrating the love of God to them and sharing the hope of the gospel.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. You know, and I think it really illustrates the opportunity we have to think about what God has entrusted to us and how we can use it for his glory. And that could be paying the $35 cell phone bill. It could be putting in a $100,000 pool to create an environment to minister to kids or everything in between. But it really requires us to be intentional and thoughtful about how we're going to allow the Lord to use us, right?
It does. Even just a couple of simple ideas just to get us brainstorming a bit.
Sure.
What if we just paid for someone's groceries or left a generous tip and combine that with a brief but meaningful conversation? This is the part that gets uncomfortable for people, but it could be as simple as just saying, Jesus loves you as you give your gift.
Yes.
Or God loves you. God is good. And he knows that you're here. He sees you and he cares about you. It doesn't have to be long and complicated.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, Rachel, I know one of the other things that you've been compelled to do is to think about intentionality with regard to our spending plans. And a lot of folks, as we start a new year, are thinking about perhaps getting back on that budget or maybe for the first time creating that spending plan. And how can we be intentional to build this in to our regular financial rhythm?
Yeah, really, it is investing in eternity. We are storing up treasures in heaven when we behave in this way, as our worldly wealth can be invested to win souls, which are the true riches referred to in Luke 16:11. But it starts with a budgeting line item, right? Just having a little bit of money set aside intentionally for the expansion of God's family. And the Great Commission is really the one calling that we've all received from God already. So it doesn't have to be spontaneous. But I would encourage some semi-planned spontaneity so that you've got the courage to step outside of your comfort zone and know that there's some money set aside to allow you to do this type of ministry. Having the budget set aside ahead of time does 3 things for us. First, it will remove the hesitation that you might feel as you consider what you maybe can or cannot afford to give.
Yeah.
That way, when a spontaneous opportunity is spotted, you'll be ready to go.
That's right.
Secondly, it'll prevent miscommunication with your spouse if you've both agreed together beforehand that this is a priority for your family and you've agreed upon an amount. And then third, it will make investing in souls an intentional part of your ongoing lifestyle if it's a part of your ongoing budget. Now, friends, I know of no better way to stay in close life union with God than to take steps to actively grow his family. God cares about people. And he shows up when we step out in faith to fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm.
his definition of true riches is souls. And as his stewards, managing resources on his behalf, when we use that money to pursue souls, we find ourselves perfectly positioned for an adventure with God that can fulfill our deepest longings and fill up our neighborhood in heaven with friends for eternity.
That is well said, Rachel. Now, I know you and your husband have some little ones at home. This is also a great opportunity to model generosity and stewardship to our kids when we build this into the plan and they see us acting out of generosity and love toward others with financial means. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it's also a great way to help them begin to step outside of their comfort zone and expand their willingness to have meaningful conversations with strangers.
Yeah, that's right. Have you gotten your kids involved in this along the way?
We've just started doing that a little bit, partly by just, you know, walking into like a coffee shop or something together and asking them, is there anyone here that you see that you think the Lord might be having us encounter today? Anyone that you think maybe God's giving you something special to do or to share with them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Rachel, I know one of the things that can get in the way of this is really just our own spiritual journey. So we need to be renewing our minds. We need to be focusing on the gospel, searching the scriptures. But one of the great things that I love about God's word is that this generosity story just leaps off the page. And so if we're regularly in scripture, we're going to see generosity modeled at every turn, right?
We are. And what could be more powerful than what Jesus invited his disciples into? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that generosity can fuel the expansion of his family through our acts of surrender and obedience.
Wow, I love it. That's a great place for us to finish today. Rachel, I always appreciate your insights, and thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. God bless.
That's Rachel McDonough. We've been talking about investing in eternity. Rachel is a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. If you want to read more from Rachel, you can read her articles at faith5.com. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Owns it all. We're stewards of his resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish his purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling his money. Money is a good gift from the Lord. It's a blessing. It's to be used to bless others through our giving, to provide for our families, even to enjoy. But when we make it the object of our affection, we make it an end as opposed to a means to an end. We treat it like it's ours and not God's. Well, it gets out of God's original design, and that's when it can really become problematic in our lives. So we want to help you reset that, see God as your ultimate treasure, as your provider, and money a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We're going to begin in Maryland today. Sue, how can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for the ministry that y'all do. We have a family business that we feel we need to be the best stewards possible and are currently with a credit card processing company that does not really share our values, our Christian values. And so we are looking to try to get direction on credit card processing companies to handle credit cards for our family farm business that you might recommend or how to go about and find out where to go with that.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you asking. More and more believers, Sue, like you, are wanting to align their business dealings with their values, whether that's a credit card processor, a bank, or even their investing solutions. It's difficult, though. And so where do you go to get this information? One resource that may or may not be helpful, it's really primarily for publicly traded companies and mutual funds, although the processor that you're looking for may be in there, or as you find others by doing just even your own research online, you might be able to run them through this data set. It's at inspireinsight.com, inspireinsight.com. It's a free tool with biblical values data on around 41,000 companies in the United States. Again, focused on publicly traded companies, but you may be able to get research back that shows whether the company happens to align or is misaligned with your values, pulling from a whole host of data sets into one aggregated source. So that's one. You could also reach out to our friends at Community Christian Credit Union. I'll get it right in a second. At joinchristiancommunity.com. They could likely recommend a processor as a Christian credit union. They would be familiar with your idea that you want to align your values not only with a banking partner, but with a processor. They may have a suggestion on where you look. I wish I had just kind of at the ready the name of a processor that you could feel good about. I don't. I love the idea of where you're headed, and so I think I would do a bit more research.
Okay, and that website again was communitychristian.com?
Yeah, well, so just go to joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. That's the website that will take you to the Christian Community Credit Union. That's what I couldn't get out before. And then the other was inspireinsight.com, and that's where you can access this biblical values data set on about 41,000 companies.
Great. Okay, thank you very much, Rob.
All right, Sue, thanks for your call today. Let's go to Orlando. Hi, Leo, go ahead.
Ron, how you doing? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have a question. So I inherited a condo with two siblings where my parents lived, and the condo is rented. It's worth about $130,000. And in order, so my siblings I have to take care of their, you know, pay them off.
Sure.
But I don't want to sell the condo.
Yeah.
Because it has income, and, you know, in today's world, it's good to have a source of income. So my question is, I have a 401k with about $375,000. I turned 65 already, so I have no early withdrawal penalty. So my question is, it'd be good for me to take money out of my 401k to pay them off. It would be around $60,000 or so, or try to get a loan, which may be a challenge because the age of the condo and the owner occupancy level. I'm told that the unit that I might not be able to get a lender to lend in the condo. So would taking money out of my 401k be a good idea?
Yeah, I don't like that option. I mean, I hear what you're saying about wanting to hang on to the condo. It's cash flowing. It's something you'd like to have as a part of your portfolio. And I happen to like real estate as an investment, Leo. But borrowing from that 401k is not good. If you separate from the company, it'd all be taxable. Plus, it's out of your 401k. And the whole purpose that's there is to grow. And you're not doing that while that money's, you know, redeployed elsewhere. You said that the condo is worth 130, is that right?
Yeah, it's about 130. Okay. But I wouldn't borrow. I would just withdraw the money, and then
okay.
I actually waited until this year because I figured if I did it early this year to buy them out, I won't have to deal with the tax consequence. Although they'll take out 20%, I wouldn't have to deal with reporting it to my statement until next year.
Well, you'd actually would, because when you have a big income influx like that, you'd need to send an estimated payment. So that's a pretty big haircut you're going to take off that money. And now you've paid the tax on it. So the portion that goes to the government is not compounding, to retirement down the road, which is why I'd rather you not, you know, add that much money, $60,000 to your taxable income in this year. I mean, one option would be to look at a hybrid where you take a smaller mortgage, and pull only half of it. So you're only adding, in this case, $30,000 to your income. But I'd probably start and see, if you've got good equity, which you would, $30,000 or $60,000 on $130,000 property, you should be able to get a mortgage. So I'd check on that first. You could check with our friends at movement.com/faith or any other conventional lender before you make this decision. But I'd look at that before you withdraw from the 401k.
Hey, before we head into this next break, let me remind you that Faith and Finance is listener supported. That means we rely on your generous support to do everything we do on the airwaves, through our coaches and counselors, through our certified Kingdom advisors, and even in the FaithFi app. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. You can make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com and click the give button. Back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You're in my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Wheaton, Illinois. Hi, Lucy. How can I help?
Hi. I'm 76 years old, and I don't have life insurance. And I'd like to know if you could recommend me a life insurance that is affordable.
Yeah.
Because I'm an SSI.
Okay. Well, Lucy, I appreciate that call, and thanks for that background. You know, if you're on supplemental security income benefits for a disability, it's going to make it more difficult to get life insurance in addition to your age being 76. I think the better question is, at least as a starting point, is do you really need life insurance? So the purpose for life insurance is to care for dependents if the family breadwinner should die prematurely. Do you have anybody depending upon your income that would be in a hardship situation if you were to pass away?
I'm helping my daughter because I live with her, but it's just to help out.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't support me or anything.
Yeah.
If I die, funeral expenses, you know, that's what I'm worried about.
Sure, sure. All right. Do you have anything set aside that you could use for funeral expenses?
I'm trying to say something, but I don't know. I know you got to save about $10,000 for funeral nowadays.
Yeah. And how much do you have in your savings right now?
I'm just starting.
Okay.
Not much.
All right. So, you know, you could potentially, look for a small policy that would see kind of be a guaranteed acceptance. You can get life insurance with no medical exam. There's also insurance over even 80 years old with no medical exam. You could do it specifically to cover the cost of a burial. I would have your daughter help you just, look around in terms of some options for that. It'd be a very small policy because here's the thing. I mean, this is going to be an expensive policy if you try to get a substantial amount of death benefit at your age and health status. But if it's something modest just to cover the burial expenses, perhaps, you could look at a $25,000 final expense and burial policy or something like that, that would basically just cover, these expenses payable to your daughter. And you know, that's really the next step for you. So you could use one of the online life insurance tools that would help you find this. You know, there's several websites that would help you find the very best company for your age and health status for this type of policy. So one is a website called NerdWallet. And I'm looking at what they say based on their independent reviews are the five best burial insurance companies as of this month, 2024, January. And so you could go to nerdwallet.com and just search for best burial insurance companies. U.S. News and World Report puts out the same thing. So there are some great options. Forbes would be another one. So I would do some research online, you know, for this, and have your daughter help you as well, and see if you could find something that is small enough that it would fit your budget, but also give you the peace of mind to know that those final expenses are covered. And the goal would be that if you could continue to save, perhaps, you know, down the road, you could drop this policy as it gets more expensive and then just rely on your savings. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes a lot of sense, yes.
Okay, very good. Ask your daughter if she'd help you with that. Tell her she could take a look at Forbes, NerdWallet, and U.S. News and World Report and find who are some companies you should get quoted for burial insurance. And Lucy, I hope that helps you. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for calling today. Let's stay in Illinois and talk to Paul. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Rob, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the financial wisdom that you give us each and every day.
Thank you.
Our situation is that well, we've been married over 50 years, and Lord's blessed our marriage. We started budgeting in the mid-1980s using the home budget book we got at the drugstore. I don't know if you remember those things. It had a blue cover.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. And we kept that up, and it easily converted into an Excel because it's a grid setup, days going across the columns and then items going down the rows. And I've maintained that since the 1990s. It fits like an old shoe. I just love working with it. The only problem, and my wife does know how to read the reports for budget actual and variance, both year-to-date and month-to-date. But it was pointed out the other day, and I kind of known this all along, my wife is not really much into the spreadsheets like I am. In other words, if I was to pass away from the scene, you know, she'd be high, wide, and dry as far as running our budget system. Yeah, do you hear me? Do you have other couples?
I totally.
Situation?
Yeah, you know, and that's typically the way it is. You know, is that the Lord puts a spender together with a saver, and you know, we just typically are opposite so often with regard to how we process information. I know Ron Blue, one of my mentors, the popular finance author from a biblical viewpoint, he said he would sit down with one of his clients was a well-known pastor. You'd know the name. He was his advisor. They'd meet once a year for dinner. And, you know, he'd go over all the spreadsheets with his wife because she wanted all the detail. And then at some point, he and the husband would excuse themselves during the meal. On the way to the restroom, he'd say, "How are we doing?" Ron would say, "You're doing fine." And that was all he wanted to know. So, you know, there's different personality types, Paul, and we've got to find something that works for both of you. What do you feel like knowing her personality would best fit for her?
Well, I mean, maybe you can make some suggestions as to, you know, some really low-profile budget systems that, you know, for the non-number person could get along with.
Is she comfortable with technology? For instance, do you think a real simple smartphone app would work, or are you looking for more of a tactile paper and pen approach?
Well, you know, my problem is we've tried Every Dollar and Mint and some of those apps. What I find is that, you know, we take out $300 a month in cash right at the beginning of the month. And incorporating cash transactions in your budget, you actually have to do manually, because a lot of these systems, you know, you have your credit card tied into it. You have your debit card tied into it. And I get that. It makes it simple. But when you add in cash, that's another dynamic. So that's just a little description.
All right, let's do this. I'd like to do an experiment, Paul, if you're on board with it, and I'm going to cover the cost for it. I want to give you 6 months on the FaithFi app. It's our budgeting system built on Larry Burkett's envelope system, but in a simple format. But I'm also going to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor who's really skilled in the FaithFi app to meet with you and your wife, get you set up on it, see if we can make it work for you. And as long as you agree to come on a couple of months down the road, if it works out, and tell us about it, we'll cover the cost of the certified Christian financial counselor and the subscription to the FaithFi app. Would you be open to that?
Well, that's very generous of you, Rob. I appreciate
All right.
that. I'll stay
Let's
on the line.
Let's do it. Sounds good. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. All right, we're going to take a quick break. As a reminder, we're not here today, but more of the questions we lined up in advance just around the corner. Stick around.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we dive back into the phones, let me just mention, you know, I mentioned to that last caller before the break about the FaithFi app, and, you know, it's a critical resource. You know, unless you have a plan for managing God's money and then a system to control the flow of money in and out, you will never be able to accomplish fully what God has for you, because having margin is the key to funding every goal, whether that's increasing your giving, paying down debt, saving for the future. If you're living right up to the edge every month or beyond it by taking on debt, you'll never be able to accomplish those goals. Well, having that plan and then being able to control the flow of money in and out, making course corrections throughout the month as you spend down your various budget categories and perhaps delay purchases or curtail spending when needed, you've got to have a system to do that. Now, whatever system works for you is the best system for you. I would suggest if you don't have a system, you ought to take a look at the FaithFi app. We've built in 3 approaches to managing money that, and I'm confident, one will fit your money personality. You can have a hands-on approach with the digital envelope system. You can have more of a hands-off approach with just our tracking system and everything in between. You can download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app, or just head straight to your app store and search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. Check it out today. You can get a 30-day free subscription and learn more about it. But I think it might be the solution you're looking for. Again, faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to get through as many questions as we can before the end of the broadcast. Lynn, you've been very patient there in Huntington. How can I help?
Hi. Boy, am I grateful to be speaking with you, Rob. Thank you so much.
Sure.
My 16-year-old recently started her first job. It's been about the past 6 months. She's a straight-A student. She's in the top 5 of her class. She's very driven in all that she does. So with her paycheck, she's spending every dime she has. She's mainly buying gifts for her friends and for her animals. And this is just such a critical point for me to be able to step in and guide her as a parent, but I don't want to completely take control of her money. What would you do?
So you said she's actually earning this money, right? She works for it?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, that's the key, is learning the value of hard work and, you know, how long she has to work for the things that she wants to buy. Oftentimes, the missing piece is understanding that, wait a minute, that, you know, out to dinner trip that I just made required me to work for 3 hours at my job. I might rethink that next time. Now, obviously, she values the things that she's doing, and I love that she's a gift giver. Obviously, God has kind of hardwired that into her, but we need to balance that with the reality of money is a limited resource, and, you know, we need to have a plan if we're ever going to accomplish our goals. You know, often it starts with taking a step back and really having a values conversation. What's important to you? What do you want to be able to do now and in the future? Talking about the importance of generosity, which is all throughout the Old and the New Testament, that we're to be generous as a reflection of the generosity God's to extended to us. And so we've got to take that right off the top and give as unto the Lord. We have short-term needs for her. That's, you know, enjoying time with her friends and giving gifts, but there's also longer-term goals. You know, does she eventually want to be able to buy a car or get an apartment or, you know, do some things that are going to require her to save and not consume all that she has? Well, making, you know, plans around those, talking about those and really unpacking what they are, and then putting a spending plan together that really reflects that, because the way we spend our money is a reflection. It's really the clearest indicator of what's going on in our lives spiritually and what we value. And so, does the way she's spending her money value in total what's important to her? Well, obviously, giving gifts to her friends is important, and it reflects that. But what about giving to the Lord? What about saving for the long term for some of these other goals? I think that's key. And so perhaps you helping her to really understand that, it's more difficult now for you to model that, you know, just given her age. But obviously, it's, you know, you still have some time while she's under your roof. I think there's also another tool that could be helpful. There's a wonderful resource that we ran across a few years ago, and I'd be happy to send you a copy of it. It's called Open Hands, Open Hands Finance. And basically, it's a money course for college students and older teens, like you've got, basically young adults, to really teach them basic skills, cultivating a stewardship mindset, building a life of generosity, creating a budget, setting up automatic savings, making a plan for debt, investing for the future, building good financial habits, all of these things. And in each one of the lessons, there's a podcast by the author, and she's just phenomenal. She's a lot of fun. She's obviously, you know, younger, and so she speaks the language of young adults. And I think could be, perhaps, if she's willing to do it, something that could be a real game changer for your daughter. And I'd be happy to send you a copy of this, the workbook, and then with the workbook, she could access the podcast. But give me your thoughts on all that, Lynn.
I think this is going to be exactly what we need. Thank you so
good.
Much.
Well, you're welcome.
That she can tangibly watch, and that we can do together.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right. And I think it's done in such a way that it'll really speak her language. It's not geared toward, you know, somebody in their 40s and 50s and 60s, but really kind of caters to somebody in her season of life. So listen, you stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll send this resource, Open Hands Finance, out to you to give to your daughter. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Lena. How can I help?
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I had a previous job where I had a 401k, and it's been over a year since I left this job. And it's been, the fund is just sitting there. I was wondering if it's wise to take it to a Roth IRA, or what should I do with that fund?
Yeah, it's a good question. Lena, how much is in that 401k? Do you know roughly?
About 18,000.
About 18,000. All right. And do you have another 401k? For instance, did you move to a new employer that also has a 401k?
I do, but they do not have 401k. They do not have anything that I can invest in.
Nothing that you can invest in. Okay, got it. So what I would probably do is you probably don't want to move it to a Roth, just because unless it's a Roth 401k, I'm assuming it's not, is it?
I was thinking of a Roth, yes.
Right, but is it, in its current form, is it a traditional 401k or a Roth 401k?
No, a traditional.
Okay, yeah, so if you convert, if you would have to roll it out to a traditional IRA, you could convert it to a Roth, but that would add the whole $18,000 to your taxable income for the year, and then you'd have to pay tax on it. So I probably wouldn't do that. I'd think probably about rolling it out to an individual retirement account, an IRA. And then our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help you through the Sound Mind Investing newsletter with some mutual funds that you could pick, or perhaps you have a friend or family member that could help you. But opening an IRA, a traditional IRA at Schwab or Fidelity, would allow you to roll that out, and then you could pick a good balanced mutual fund that matches your age and risk tolerance, and then get that money invested.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay. Hey, we appreciate your call today, Lena. There is one other thing. Let me mention, there's something called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. That may be a good option for you. It's very low cost, and it uses ETFs, basically index funds, to capture the broad market indexes. But as you answer the questions about your age and risk tolerance, it would build the right portfolio that doesn't take too much risk, and that would come out as a part of you opening the account. Just in your search engine, type Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. That might be a great option for you. And again, it would be a traditional IRA that you're opening to roll the 401k into. Hey, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Barbara. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to your program.
Thank you.
The thing is, I had fraud on my account, and it went into my debit card, which is no longer my debit card because I got rid of it because they got into it. Even today, they were trying to access it. But the thing is, with regard to what happened, it had to do with a big department store and gift cards, okay? And I was duped into doing something that I would never ordinarily have done, thinking that I was getting rid of what somebody was trying to steal out of my account. Okay, well, I've gone to the bank and the police, and the store where it happened, it was through credit card or no, gift cards. Anyway, they sent me a text and saying, we're really sorry, but we can't get your money back for you. And I was thinking, you know, would it be a good idea? They did it in a email. And I was wondering, should I answer them and say, you know, I'm retired, living on Social Security and not a whole lot more, and could you just rethink it? Do you think that's a good or a bad idea?
First of all, Barbara, let me just say how sorry I am for what you're going through. I know how this is weighing on you, and is just really difficult, especially given the financial situation you're in. Unfortunately, no. I would cut off all communication. There's not going to be any sort of willingness to hear you out or empathy on the other end. Any ongoing communication just keeps that door open for additional fraud, for them to try to get information from you, perhaps plant something maliciously on your computer that could create further damage. So I would absolutely cut it off. I'm glad you reported it to the police. You needed to do that. You know, there are articles on the FTC website. So if you go to consumer.ftc.gov, there are articles specifically on what to do if you paid a scammer with a gift card. And it explains how it works. It'll give you the steps to follow, including reporting it not only to your bank, but to your gift card company, telling them you were scammed, giving them the information, asking for your money back, and then also reporting the fraud at reportfraud.ftc.gov. That's reportfraud.ftc.gov. So I'd cut off communication and read those articles. Barbara, we're going to be praying for you. Call back if we can help further. God bless you. That's going to do it for us. I'm grateful for my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.